Paula Johnson Burke is an archaeologist in Seattle. Her job is to collect pieces of artifacts and documents and see what story they tell about our past. One project that started out as a pretty mundane job a few years ago has grown into a personal obsession for Paula. It involves some stones, a Japanese immigrant who lived a very full life, and a form of simple poetry called sendu. Sound effect producer Jennifer Wing tells us more.
A large oblong stone covered in brambles in the backyard of a house in Seattle's International District that was going to be torn down was Paula Johnson Burke's first introduction to a man named Shinjiro Honda. The stone, it weighed over 100 pounds. It was in its natural state, rough, but it was carved. On one side of it, there was a script in Japanese kanji. On the other side, there was a message carved in English.
The English side said, Shinjiro Honda, age 65, died September 3rd, 1942. The kanji side had a little bit more information that he had come from a certain province in Japan, and that that it said, this is the grave of Shinjiro Honda.
Paula needed to find out if there was a body buried underneath this rock or if there were ashes.
One of the children who had sold the house said, no, it was just a memorial stone to honor my dad's poetry teacher.
So there weren't any remains here, but Paula wanted to know more. Who was this man who taught poetry, who inspired someone to go through the trouble of erecting and carving a stone in his name? She started looking through old census records and learned that during World War II, Shinjiro Honda was sent to the Heart Mountain internment camp in Powell, Wyoming.
They are an interpretive center now, and they interpret the history of the Japanese internment during World War II. And they also had a stone. It was carved in three portions of the rock. And so one side said something about who had erected the stone, and it was the poetry society that had formed during the Japanese-American people's time there. And then the third side had a poem. I was just really starting to become a little more interested in who is this guy that all these stones, what is up with all these stones?
If you were to cross paths with Shinjiro Honda in Seattle back in the 1930s, you would have encountered a man who, at first glance, was part of the workforce that kept hotels and wealthy households running.
I'm sure they saw a servant. He worked as a cook in a hotel. He worked as a cook in a private home for many years. Shinjiro Honda most likely worked 6 days a week.
But as the stones revealed, there was much more than cooking for wealthy white people going on in this man's life. In fact, Paula discovered that there is a third stone dedicated to Shinjiro Honda. It's in Seattle's Lakeview Cemetery, and his remains aren't here either. But like the stone in Wyoming, a poem is etched into the rock, and this one, it's not as weathered, it's easier to read.
To live, that is good. But to die, released from care, is that not good too?
Shinjiro Honda was a highly respected artist in the Japanese immigrant community. He was a master of a type of poetry called sendu. It's similar to haiku. It's short, three lines and 17 syllables.
There were poems about using chopsticks in a fork world and things like that. Just very evocative images of like contrasting what it's like to be a foreigner in another land. He started basically organizing these poetry slams, if you will. So it was a group of people would get together and they would say their poems and the crowd would vote with like their cheers, I guess, of who won that poetry slam. He was getting so much done in the same 24 hours that you and I have, but also working 6 days a week.
In the 1930s, Shinjiro Honda was one of the organizers of a sendu poetry symposium in Seattle. Poems from this event were published in Japan as an anthology, Paula tracked down one copy of this book at the University of Washington's Special Collections Library, which is where we meet up with Wakai McLean, a native Japanese speaker.
I'd like to help Paula as much as I can today.
A librarian produces a small green book.
This is the book. It's little. Oh my gosh.
Each page looks like a grid filled with kanji, katakana, and hiragana. Each row is one brief poem. Some pages have as many as 12 poems.
What is this about here?
Oh, these are the people's names, member names.
With the help of Wakai translating for us, we learn that the book's prologue tells the story about when these Japanese writers first met and how the Sendu Poetry Group grew during the 1920s and early 1930s, and that it was the first of its kind in North America. Some poets sent in their work from as far away as the territory of Alaska. As Wakai reads through this tiny script, she gives a translation of what the writers were really trying to do with their poetry, creating Japanese art, something familiar to them, in their new foreign home.
We really wanted to have Japanese culture in desert in North America.
In what?
Desert, like nothing.
In the desert of North America.
They didn't have nothing to read in the U.S., no access to published books in the U.S., which is written in Japanese. So I think it's more like they wanted to have, like, when you're thirsty, you want to drink.
Many of the poems are written by Shinjiro Honda. Wakai comes across one that he wrote at the start of a new year.
Mr. Honda wrote, Hatsu yume no reniya wa fuji ni shite iwai.
He had a dream about a mountain that at first he thought was Mount Rainier, but really in his dream it was Mount Fuji in Japan, a mountain that is revered, a mountain from his home.
I think it's a very happy feeling of the dream. It's a very lucky dream.
For Paula, there are still so many questions she has that she would love to find the answers to.
The wealthy family that he worked for lived in the highlands. They don't have addresses, street addresses in the highlands. And so I'm not sure what house it was and if that house still stands. But I would love to find out if it does, and maybe just to be in a space that I knew he had been in. That would be amazing. I have lots of questions. I think I will keep chipping away at this one for a while because it really took hold of me. There's just so many bittersweet things about this story.
As the stone that was found in the backyard in Seattle revealed, Shinjiro Honda died on September 3rd, 1942. It happened at the Heart Mountain internment camp in Powell, Wyoming. He died of esophageal cancer only 3 days after arriving at the camp. He was 65. His remains are not under the stone in Wyoming. Someday, Paula hopes to visit the Heart Mountain Internment Camp Interpretive Center, and there she would like to find out more about Shinjiro Honda's only child. He had a daughter. If Paula can find her, or family members who knew her, then the location of Mr. Honda's final resting place might finally be known.